Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nasir Khor, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET.
Today's episode of The Beat is brought to you by the Waterworks and Header HVAC, now better to serve you together and proud sponsors of Ohio State Athletics.
There is not currently a scheduled press conference at Ohio State, but that won't stop us from acting like there is because there are a lot of questions for Ohio State and for Coach Ryan Day. And on a Tuesday, a talking Tuesday on The Beat presented by the Waterworks, Television's Adam King of 10TV gives us all of the burning topics on his mind. And sometimes he will just tell the world to relax.
I don't want to take a victory lap. I'm not here to do that.
You're not?
But let me take my victory lap.
Okay, there we go. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Guess what? I just saw a preseason poll for the 2027 season.
2027?
Which, by the way, 2026-27 championship. Oh, okay. By the way, 222 days away. Mark your calendars. Get excited there. Dublin, Ireland. North Carolina versus TCU. Nothing screams college football like Bill Belichick in Ireland.
That's going to be electric.
Yes, it will. And guess who was ranked number one?
Let me think about it. Preseason number one for 2026. Heisman Trophy finalist. Mm-hmm. Best player in the sport coming back. I'm gonna suggest that it's the Ohio State Buckeyes.
It was the Ohio State Buckeyes. I'm a little surprised at that. I think I'd probably rank them preseason three. I think that's probably where they'll
I thought fall. They would be number three.
Yeah, I feel like that's... But I didn't make the poll. It was not the AK top 20.
Where are they in the AK preseason? Way too early top 25.
Yeah, that's number three in the AK.
Okay. But what happened to that?
We went to the playoffs.
Oh.
It was the AK only it matters.
Well, when's the way too early? I thought you were in the content game.
Well, the way too early will come. Okay. Everybody just take a deep breath, all right?
It'll relax.
It'll be a TikTok.
That's for me.
America,
you relax about the transfer portal. Austin, you relax about the AK top 20.
I just want to say that maybe Ohio State yet again has one of the best rosters in college football. I'm very excited to see. I'm glad we can sit here and like talk about it pretty much with it taking shape. I mean, they may add like sprinkles, but I can't imagine there's going to be another big name slam dunk. I haven't heard anything.
I wouldn't think so. The only possibility that still exists out there, Adam, like, you know, Indiana and Miami have their roster has 5 days. Now, is someone leaving the Hoosiers that would be of major interest to Ohio State? I don't know. I mean, the way that they have constructed their roster, a lot of those players for the Hoosiers are veterans already. Now, Miami and Ohio State have recruited a number of the same players over the last couple of years. We talked about that in the buildup to the Cotton Bowl. If there's a surprise, if there is a player that the Buckeyes recruited who's decided that they want to enter the portal by, what is that, they have till Saturday?
Yeah.
I guess potentially that could happen, but now we're starting to look at that where Ohio State addressed every position on the roster that we would view, I think you and I would view, as a need. So anything else that might happen would be a luxury. So I don't think that that's something that I'm on alert for.
I think my first question, because it is a talking Tuesday, it would be to both Tyler Bowen and Ryan Day. And I'm perfectly content with what they did in the portal, which is nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. And so my question for them would be, what was that conversation like? Obviously, you get three major pieces back in Luke Montgomery, Austin Saraveld, and Carson Hinsman. Once you know that it, aside from, you know, an injury, those guys aren't coming off the field.
Right.
They cannot, that they are your core. And so I wonder what it was like when they sat down and said, here's what's in the portal. What are we chasing? And it takes, I will say, it almost is impressive to me because I think there are a lot of people out there that want offensive linemen. They wanted a big splash in that. But I think Ohio State took a look and said, we have the talent. We have who we need in place. We just have to make sure that we execute in the right way. And that's what went wrong against Miami. Obviously, injuries played a factor into that. Tego Tshabola is no longer here.
And Austin Saraveld got injured in that game. He didn't play in the second half.
Yeah, and they handled that well when you think about it. The second half, there was a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
So I do wonder, what was that conversation like between Ryan Day and Tyler Bowen when he said, hey, I like my room. I don't need anything else in my room. And that takes a, like, if I was Luke Montgomery, or I was Carson Hinsman, or obviously, you know, I would say, thanks, coach. Like, that's quite the vote of confidence from a coach who, you know, took a lot of heat over the last couple of weeks for what happened in that Cotton Bowl, to not say, all right, guys, we're tearing this down. We got to figure it out. He put a lot of confidence in this group, as they should. I still think for the majority of the season, this was an amazing offensive line. I don't think
they went 12-0 by accident. No. And I 100% understand the counter argument is, yes, Indiana and Miami were the two most aggressive fronts that they played all year, and they struggled, and they gave up, I think the number was 756 sacks in those two games.
That sounds accurate.
And they gave up too much pressure, and they didn't win. I think that they ran block better than they get credit for in that game, and I know that that's looking for a silver lining, and that's not what we're here to do. But if the overall body of work was still very encouraging the first 12 games, mm-hmm. and now an additional 9 months of development and weight room training and experience that is under the belt of not just those three guys that you mentioned, but also Phillip Daniels. And then on top of that, Josh Padilla and Ian Moore, who were on the field in the second half against Miami when Ohio State found some success. Like, that's a surplus. Like, why do they have to not go into the portal? Because what are you trying to get if you go in there? Experienced players, veteran players, mature players. They already have that on their roster.
It's already there.
So they come with pre-existing success in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. So to me, I was 100% in agreement with that plan. Does that mean that there's no question whatsoever that every player in that room is going to take a step forward, or that Tyler Bowen and Ryan Day are going to put them in the exact right spot? Because there's a world where Austin Saraval could go back to the right side, or they could move mm-hmm. him to right guard, or Phillip Daniels is moving from right tackle to right guard, or you know, moving those pieces around. We've seen them do that already. They did that with Austin Saraval last year, when at first it was guard out to right tackle, and then right tackle in training camp to left tackle. It doesn't have to be chiseled in stone what that depth chart is like, because they have seven or eight players that they trust. So I think that was it. And if there are people that thought they should take a huge swing for someone like Jordan Seaton, I understand. But they didn't have to do that, in my estimation, or in Mark Pantone's estimation, or Ryan Day's estimation, more importantly, because Carson Hinsman and Austin Saraval were also not free.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of those calculations have to be factored in as well.
I think it's interesting when you look at this offensive line. It's really, you look at what happened against Michigan, where they just absolutely controlled the whole game. And that is, offensive line is a position where experience matters. And it feels like if you come back, every rep is another rep, especially as a core. You get better, you grow together. It's one of the few positions where I genuinely, like you say, like maybe not everybody will take a step forward. I think it's one of the few positions where you genuinely take a step forward every single season, just aside from abysmal coaching. Like, I think, I mean, if that's the case, you got problems, but I don't think that is the case. And so I do think you are right to say the experience was more valuable on what was inside the Woody. With this transfer portal process.
Well, you sound like you have some skepticism about it. If that's your first question, why did you want to do it?
I guess it was my first question because I'm curious if that was their answer.
Yeah.
And I guess
that makes sense. I'm just checking.
No. Yeah. I'm not skeptical. I'm curious if that was, like, how did that come to be? Because you do it with every position room. You did it with Jacoby Johnson and the running back room. You said, okay, what do we want to do here? Now, I am not, I'm not as high on Jacoby Johnson as
Jackson,
other people are.
Yeah.
Jackson, I'm sorry. Yeah, both Jacksons. Sorry, thank you.
It's an all Jackson.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the Jackson too.
I'm not as high as on Jacoby Jackson because also, that's like when I said McClain last week and the comments were erupting. They were horrified. He did not enter the portal.
you were correct.
I was correct. I'm not as high on Jackson Jacoby-wise, because I think that's how we have to phrase it from here on out.
In terms of the Jacoby Jackson of it all.
Yes. because I think that they're very high on Isaiah West.
Yeah.
And I think there were people that wanted them to go out there and get a RB1 splash. And this is a guy that has to be on the field every game alongside Bo Jackson. And I think that Jacoby Jackson is a very good running back, and I think he will play crucial downs for Ohio State. But I don't think the one thing that I really learned this portal cycle is that the Buckeyes do not, they almost are their own scouting department, which they actually have, but like they really don't care what everyone else thinks. And that's a really good thing to have, because they knew all along, okay, we love Bo Jackson. Once we get Bo back, we'll feel good. We've known how high they are on Isaiah West. Okay, what's a piece that we can add into that that doesn't overshadow the rest of the room? And I feel like they did that really, really well with every single room this cycle. And people may want the Jordan Seaton, and this was full circle, is a long walk for a short drink of water. I don't even think that's a saying.
And it is now.
There it is.
Rent the t-shirt.
Rent the t-shirt. This is all to say, I don't know that I'd want Jordan Seaton on this roster. And I've never met Jordan Seaton. He may very well be a nice guy. But the tweeting, the games, that kind of stuff matters. And it's all to say that Ohio State was still at their core worried about culture. And if you don't think that's true, every guy that they brought in, they made sure fit this culture that they have. And some people have made jokes, well, it's all about the culture and all that. It is. It really is. That's how you win a national title. That's why Quinshon Judkins worked in 2024, because he fit with the culture. That's why Caleb Downs is one of the greatest Buckeyes of all time, because he meshed with the culture perfectly. And so I think they, yet again, and I guess this is me just kind of giving them a quick wave there, they did a very good job of meshing the culture with the talent.
Well, I think that that's why when you look at this cycle and the first 2 weeks and in the 15-day period where the portal window was open and the players that they added, the players that they lost, it's staggering. I don't disagree with anybody who feels like college football is losing some of its soul if you have 31 players leaving your roster.
Yeah.
Now, that problem is not unique to Ohio State, and I think that, you know, around Columbus, that's the way it feels. Like, that is it. How can that happen with the strength of the brotherhood, with the way that everyone talks about the close-knit culture of the Woody Hayes Athletic Center? How can that many players be electing to leave on their own? I don't want to hear about the brotherhood ever again. And I certainly understand where people are coming from on that front. And I know that you feel this way as well, that like you wanted to be able to follow and cover people throughout their career.
Yes.
That's what that's the way that we've always known college football to be. And so if there's disappointment, frustration, anger, anxiety, concern, I'm not telling you not to feel that way. But if we're looking—
Don't tell me how to feel.
I'm not going to tell you to relax about it either. You don't have to. But if I'm looking at it—
relax a little bit.
And I'm analyzing, evaluating the level of success and how that fits into the culture that Ryan Day— because he can't be solely in charge of that. And the coaching staff can't be solely in charge of that. You have to have leaders who understand. You have to have people who— drop every ounce of blood so that the Scarlet and Gray is winning, or that they live for the Block O. And that's where keeping the entirety of the starting lineup became so critical.
Mm-hmm.
And if the only point, and I'm not saying that it was, but the most public out of all of this, or the closest that it ever appeared to be with a starter leaving, was Bo Jackson. I'm not saying that other players didn't have discussions. Some of it is NFL draft related, with Kenyatta Jackson and Austin Sereld, Carson Hinsman on down the road.
As you expect. I mean, that's a part of it.
And you don't win them all either. No. They really thought that there was a good chance to keep Caden McDonald. Didn't work out, and for good reason.
Because he's very good.
And all the feedback just kept getting higher and higher and higher. Now you're a top 15 caliber pick and you can't come back. But every starter that they could keep, Ohio State kept. And that, two of them are captains that we're talking about now, with Brandon Ennis and Austin Sereld. So, like,
when— has that ever happened before, by the way? I was trying to look back.
Well, they've had multi-year captains.
Yes, but we're like, first of all, they had so few captains. They only had, what, four?
Four, yeah.
To keep 50% of your captains has to have never happened before.
I bet that ratio is we're going to have to do some research.
Because that's what I was trying to find. It's like half of your captains stayed.
Would have been crazy if you had that stat already ready to go.
All right, well, I am not very good at the research. I type into the Google machine, and
that,
if it doesn't—
that can be misleading.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, but that's my point. You have the two captains, you have the starters, and we're putting our two approaches together here. You're keeping the starters, you're keeping the captains, and then you're supplementing that with people who you think are going to fit in and adapt to what it means to play at Ohio State. And yes, they're not doing that for free, and it costs money to be involved with portal acquisitions and building your roster. retention costs money too. Not everyone is doing this solely because they love Ohio State or that they want to wear the block hoe. I understand all that. But if you're trying to build a winner and you want to win a national championship, the bones and everything that already exists there that Ryan Day and his leaders have established, you can't get rid of that in favor of chasing someone who may be asking for $3 million to come play for 1 year. I'm personally not in favor of that.
All right. I feel like I would like to take a beat from the portal talk. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, please do. Also, because there are questions going on right now that are forward thinking.
And that is where I'd like to go.
Take me there.
What is
happening
with the offensive coordinator role? My lie detector, Ryan Day, is...
Oh my gosh,
who's the offensive coordinator?
This is the most important time to use a lie detector that I've ever heard of.
Hey, just real quick, give me the name. So...
Give me five names.
I am very intrigued. My first lie detector to Ryan Day would be, what is criteria number one?
Yeah.
We have all kind of come to the conclusion that criteria number one was... wanting to be an NFL mind, kind of the offensive CEO and
the head coach of the offense.
The head coach of the offense.
That's the way I like to put it.
And I feel like that's probably still where we're at.
Yep.
Would you agree?
That's my assumption. That's what my reporting would lead me to suggest to you. But the only person who can answer that directly is Ryan Day. And so we have not talked to him since December 31st, or I guess as it was almost New Year's Day at that point. And he's done a lot of his work over the last couple of weeks, including the hiring of Cortez Hankton, like almost entirely in secret. Mm-hmm. And that's fine because you don't want to be negotiating against ghosts or giving people opportunity to hire someone away. I fully understand that part. But if we're talking about number one at the top of that priority list, that's where I think it is. And it's multiple angles there. Are you intent that you still have to give up play calling responsibilities?
Yes.
Which I think he is,
I want to be clear. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
You're fine.
When I say it like that, that's not because I don't think that Ryan Day is an amazing play caller. That's what makes Ryan Day a great coach, but that's not where he is in his career right now. That's not who he wants to be.
No.
That's not who Ohio State needs him to be. Certainly not in this chaotic world of college football. Could he be a great play caller? Yes. Did he call a great game against the Cotton Bowl if you actually go back and watch? He did, in a lot of ways, they just weren't able to capitalize.
Yeah. Continue. So you have to answer some of those importantly. What level of experience are you intent on that still being the role for yourself as the CEO of the program and no longer the head coach of the offense? Does this person need to have play calling experience, whether at the NFL level or the college level? Ryan Day didn't have that himself as an NFL coach before he was hired at Ohio State. He had done, 3 years with Temple and Boston College as the offensive coordinator. But like if we're in this phase now where some of the, you and I both talked about Brian Daboll or Todd Monken, a lot of these, potential options, even if they're pie in the sky, like the reason that they're pie in the sky is because NFL teams are trying to hire them as head coaches or offensive coordinators to stay in the NFL. And so what does that mean when if you work down that list from your ideal candidate to when do you shift to more realistic candidates? Because somewhere in that mix would be someone like JT Barrett.
Okay.
But I don't know if that fits what Ryan Day is actually looking to accomplish in this offensive coordinator role, because do we know if JT Barrett can or cannot call plays? There's no evidence of that right now.
That is so funny you said that, because I was literally going to throw that back at you. I understand. And there may arguably would be no Ohio State tied assistant coach right now more ready for the job. I don't think you could find anyone else.
I'm not trying to throw a cold blanket on JT Barrett conversation, because there's almost nobody that I would want to come back to Ohio State as a coach more than JT Barrett.
Well, I would argue that I don't know it's the right fit. And
I agree with you.
And that's where I think that it might upset some people. People do love JT Barrett. I think the one thing that made the Matt Patricia hire great, or even the Chip Kelly hire, is that you didn't need the Buckeye tie.
Yeah.
You went out and got the best guy. Do I think JT Barrett one day could be an offensive coordinator at Ohio State? Absolutely. but I think he's still got to grow in his career. I think he's still got, as you said, take over the play calling duties. Just because, I've always said this, just because you drive a car really well doesn't mean you could drive a semi. So you've got to transition there. You've got to learn.
Are those different?
They are a little different, just a little bit.
I should stop trying to buy a semi.
Yeah, you really got to stop. With that, I think you have to find the guy that maybe, and not for overblowing the analogy, knows how to fly a plane, but he's going to come back and drive your semi. I feel like a plane is...
Are those similar skill sets?
I feel like, I don't know, there's nothing... A monster truck. This guy knows how to drive monster trucks,
yeah.
But he'll come drive your semi for you.
Okay.
So, that's great. People have turned off. They're like, what in the world? Like, I don't think this airplane's...
I'm trying to track it.
Yeah.
There's a good analogy in there somewhere. It was a long walk for a short drink of water.
That's right. Long walk for a short drink of water. I think you need a guy that comes in and has a grand scheme of how everything works in, whether it be a head coach or an offensive coordinator, and is just coming in to just kind of experiment, if that makes sense. Because that's what it felt like Matt Patricia did. He came here and he was like, I'm going to go do my thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, everything is hand in hand with Ryan Day. And his thing worked very well. With that, I do think there are a couple names. I don't think Dayball's going to happen. I think the problem is...
I think he might be going to Buffalo,
yes,
as a
exactly.
head coach.
Every time a new head coach opens, I'm like, ah, that stinks. But...
I mean, but you're right to want to take the swing for that.
Exactly. And credit to one Austin Ward, because he made a comment to me. We were just discussing. We were discussing. Let me put that out there. Where do you go if Matt Patricia does get offered a job and takes it?
Yeah.
That has not happened. Let me state that again. I am not saying that. And you said, well, think about what you initially thought when Jim Knowles left. Would you have ever said Matt Patricia? And so I think inside the Woody, they have to have that mindset of like, well, let's swing for the fences.
Yeah.
And if they say no, they say no. I don't think JT Barrett is swinging for the fences. I think he's great. I think one day he will have that opportunity. But you've got to make every single big name play caller, offensive guru say no.
Say no. Yeah. No, I think that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was really cold in Chicago on Sunday night. JT Barrett was freezing there. And it's cold now in Columbus. Winter doesn't wait at him.
I was wondering what was on that
phone. And neither should you. The Waterworks and Header Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing is there to make sure your home is ready for cold mornings, icy nights, and everything in between. It's so cold right now. It's just unbearable. Stay cozy all season long and call the Waterworks and Header Heating and Cooling. Header Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Let me get that correct. At 614-232-2222. So that's it right now, because we're out of the roster management phase. I think 99.9% certainty on that, Adam. And it becomes this period of uncomfortable waiting, most likely, because Matt Patricia, to my knowledge, he doesn't have an NFL offer with – you know, financial details
there
in front of him.
There's interest
in him for sure, and there's going to be. And I still will say the same thing today that I said last week, that I said the week before that. Ohio State is not handling it wrong, and Matt Patricia is not handling it wrong to get all that right. And I hope, selfishly for my sake, that I am not correct, that this could take 2 weeks or all the way up to the Super Bowl before the NFL coaching cycle stabilizes, and then Ryan Day's had a chance to interview everybody that he might want to and bring them in. Because 2.5 more weeks of like talking about candidates and who fits that mold and breaking it down on Talking Tuesday just doesn't sound fun for me, because this has already been going on for like 7 weeks.
This is, again, just kind of gut feeling, just from talking to Patricia throughout the year, talking. I feel like he'll be back here next year. I think in his heart of hearts, he wants to be back here.
He wants to be back.
But, and that's what I think the fan base needs to know. First of all, it's like, he loves it in Columbus. He loves Buckeye Nation. He loves the players. It was, I think if you could have told Matt Patricia, what is your dream scenario? It probably overdid what he could have imagined. So I think that is very helpful in the Buckeyes' favor. I also don't know that Matt Patricia's done it. Like, there are coaches that you live a world with and say, okay, well, they've never gone and been an NFL head coach, or, oh, they've never gone and won a Super Bowl. Oh, they've never, like, Patricia's done it all. Like, yeah, exactly. So if he's not chasing anything in his career. And so gut feeling, and again, this is just a gut feeling, I think Matt Patricia will be the defensive coordinator this time next month. I just wish we had a little more clarity on the offensive coordinator, because I feel like with every morning I wake up and there's another name that's thrown out there and I'm like, okay, well, sure, call Sean McDermott. But like, what, like, it that's, I just, again, lie detector Ryan Day, because this is a Talking Tuesday.
It is.
Give me your ideal candidate. Because you know what? This is crazy. And I know it's not going to happen. But it's so frustrating how the Chip Kelly era ended. Because that's the idea. Go get Chip Kelly. But like, I know it's not going to happen. Yeah. But like, Chip Kelly was the perfect embodiment, especially when it came to the run game and how they loved to run the football. And he's such a great run mind that it makes you go, man, why couldn't they? Why did you have to go coach 10 games to the Raiders, Chip? You could have had a heck of a contract in Columbus for quite a few years.
I almost feel like the Chip Kelly experience will also be informative for Matt Patricia, who doesn't need to be.
That's a good point.
Doesn't need to have it explained to him how volatile the coaching market is at the NFL level. He's lived that for a very long time. But if you're talking about the things that he has not achieved or accomplished or had the luxury of, it's what you were talking about with how much he loves it in Columbus and putting down roots. And this profession that those guys are in is so transient. And you see him walk into games with, you know, the customized shoes that his kids made for him, and, you know, their experience walking into the Horseshoe with him on every Saturday. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think the family part, again, I'm not going to speak for him, and I can't guarantee anything, because the Raiders did something that was pure lunacy a year ago and doubled Chip Kelly's salary. It's like, well, you may have wanted to stay with Ryan Day.
You can't blame that.
Like, you also kind of like needed to take that, because who knows how many other gigantic paydays exist out there where you're doing the same work and suddenly making twice as much. Anybody would think, almost everybody, I can't speak for everyone out there, would make that same choice.
I'll say this, Austin. If somebody came to me and offered me double what I'm making to do their podcast, I wouldn't do it. I would say, I am reserved for Talking Tuesday.
Oh, well, that's really nice, because I don't know if I could afford to keep you. Oh, I'd double the pay.
No, I'll sign it right now.
How do you double nothing?
That's right. $1.
All right, fine. You'll get a raise.
That's right. $1.
You have all the leverage, because I can't replace you. It says right here, it's Talking Tuesday with Adam King. What am I going to do? Get a new graphic?
That's right. I mean, it's in the name. Talk King. What do you get? Now you got to go find someone else with the name King?
I actually need to talk. Like, why didn't Berm just make this King red? You know, that's cool. A little differentiator.
That's cool. Berm's listening.
He's always listening. There will be so many more questions. I'm sure of that.
I am so excited. I was thinking about this. I feel like the off season is typically a time where everyone's like, okay, well, there's not much to talk about. Boy,
not anymore.
But yes, I know I said this a couple weeks ago, and we'll finish on this. Enjoy the process. I feel like a lot of people are talking about how
college. You told everyone to go on a cruise and come back.
No. With the transfer portal. With the transfer portal, that was chaotic. But every transfer portal year, plan your cruise, all right? No Wi-Fi, just come back and be like, oh, wow, look, they're at on this. The roster, wow.
This is Terry Moore, look at that 2024 season.
There we go, that's what you do. But when it comes to the actual offseason and everything, that's the fun part. Like, I'm so excited once we have an offensive coordinator and once we know what the defense is locked in to really start building towards, you know, that game in Las Vegas. And it's that is what makes that moment down in Atlanta.
Did you do the math for that? Well, that's like 372 days, I think, because there's an extra week next year for no reason.
For no reason. Boy, and if we ever run out of content, we can talk about how broken the college football calendar is for about 900 years.
Yeah. By the way, somebody won a national championship on Monday night, and that team had to beat Ohio State to get there.
You know what's crazy?
Is that we're recording on Monday and we don't know who won, but it's still
applies. You ruined it! No, you ruined it! I apologize.
What were you going to say? Just tell them. We'll just edit that out.
I was just going to say, it's crazy what a great game that was.
It was so good. Oh my God. Who knew?
Who knew?
Congratulations to those national champions and the end of the college football season.
You know what I'm excited about? It's over. On to next year. Let's go.
2026 is here.
AK Top 25 preseason weight tour will be coming soon.
Can we drop that next Tuesday?
Next Tuesday, I'll drop it.
All right, that's a guarantee. You heard it right there from television's Adam King. You can find him on 10TV, 10TV Plus. Occasionally, he will appear on 97.1 The Fan. and every Tuesday on A Talking Tuesday on The Beat, presented by The Waterworks. Thanks so much for joining us. We will talk to you again later. For Adam, I'm Austin. So long.
Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nazir Kor, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET.
Yay!